If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for our scripture reading tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 16. All scripture. I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God. This is God's Word. All scripture is given by God, by inspiration, by the inspiration of God, and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, there was a time when we made a God out of the Bible. And as I said last Sunday, the Bible is a means to an end, and that's Christ. And this is a revelation of Him. And the Scriptures are given in order to lead us to Christ. And in Him, we find perfection. In Him, we are thoroughly furnished. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Preach Christ. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray together. Merciful God and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace in the name of Thy dear Son, thanking Thee that we can call You our Father, and thanking Thee that we have an advocate with Thee, one who is righteous and one in whom we find our righteousness and our acceptance and our perfection. We ask that You would bless Your word tonight, that Your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, and Lord, that You would reveal to us the glory of Christ and cause us to find our rest and our hope and all our salvation in His glorious person and in His accomplished work. For we ask it in His dear name. Amen. For those that do watch online, we are having our services next Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, a week from today. So, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We just read from Timothy that Paul was admonishing young Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season. The Lord Jesus Christ commissioned the disciples to go and preach the gospel. The Lord Himself came as a preacher. We have on the front of our bulletin 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on a cross as the sin bearer of His people. Preaching is to herald. It is to declare. What great hope we have in knowing that this message comes straight from the Word of God. We're not here to lecture. We're not here to educate. We're not here to suppose. We're not here to discuss. We're here to herald, to declare, thus saith the Lord. What does God say about Christ and about Him crucified? Truth is that you and I don't need to be educated. We need to be saved. We need to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have for that. He is the Savior of sinners. And if we're going to be saved, the Lord is going to do it through the foolishness of preaching. Now, to the believer, preaching is everything but foolishness. But to the world, it's a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Greeks. But it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We're here to declare with authority what God has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope that the Lord will give us grace to preach it with clarity, to preach Him with conviction, and to preach Him with compassion. Now, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that we are to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Now, what he's talking about is listen to the content of the message that's being preached. Because in the rest of that verse it says, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we're to prove the message. We're to try the message. We are to be discerning when it comes to what's being preached. We're not to be like little children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. But neither are we to be self-righteous Pharisees looking down our noses with suspicion and condemnation, thinking that, you know, no, the Lord said you are to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And that's especially true when it comes to discerning preaching. I preached on many occasions to Calvinists in particular that sit there with their arms crossed, with a scowl on their face, with the attitude, see if you can teach me something. You know, and that's not to be our attitude. And their favorite verse is 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Try the spirits and see whether they be of God. Boy, they're doing it too. What is preaching? What is preaching? We preach Christ crucified. What is it? Well, I want to tell you three or four things that preaching is not. From the Scriptures. You have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 2 at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, the gospel. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10 that his enemies said about him that his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. Now, from what we know about the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, he was not an eloquent speaker. And yet, God used him as powerfully as any man has ever lived to preach the gospel. What preaching is not, what it is not, is style of delivery. Don't get caught up in the style of delivery to determine whether or not preaching is taking place. Preaching has everything to do with content. With content. The church in Corinth, why some of them were followers of Paul, some of them were followers of Cephas, some of them were followers of Apollos, and they had their favorite preacher based on which style of preacher was more attractive to them. And the Lord rebuked them for that, didn't he? He said, Christ is not divided. Paul didn't save you. Cephas didn't save you. Apollos didn't save you. These men preach Christ. They may preach him in a different way, in a different style, with different personalities. How different do you suppose Peter, that rough fisherman's personality, was from gentle-spirited John? How different do you suppose Apollos, who was a very eloquent speaker, was to Paul, who of his own confession was weak and contemptible in his speech? Preaching doesn't have anything to do with the style of delivery. Don't confuse delivery with doctrine. Don't confuse passion with power. Don't confuse noise with knowledge. The joke in preaching class back many years ago was that if you had a weak point in your message, write in the margin of your Bible, holler louder, weak point. You know, that was, and that happens a lot. And people get enthralled by that. Don't do it. Don't. You know, I remember watching Jimmy Swaggart preach. I mean, he could cry alligator tears. There was no gospel in that man's preaching. I was thumbing through the channels the other day and came across a preacher. I think his name is T.D. Jakes. And boy, I mean, he was sweating up a storm and veins popping out and walking up and down and hallelujah, and had the whole congregation in a fervor. You know, he doesn't even believe in the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a member of a group called Oneness Pentecostalism. And there's no gospel, no gospel whatsoever in what he preaches. And yet, people get all caught up with that, don't they? Don't confuse the style of preaching with the content of the message. Is Christ being preached? Is the truth being lifted up? Who is our model preacher? No man ever spake as this man did. He didn't have to holler in the streets. He didn't have to hoop and holler. No. He spoke with authority. Truth is, you can have heat in the pulpit with no light. That's not preaching. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to be discerning when it comes to the gospel. Oh, I want to be discerning. And you know, Satan is so subtle. He's so subtle. The Lord said that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what Paul says beginning in verse 5. Here's another thing that preaching is not. Preaching is not the style of delivery. It's the content of the message. Preaching is not self-promotion. A lot of that takes place in preaching. Men promoting themselves. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. And we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're not here to promote ourselves. A lot of wood, hay, and stubble going on in the name of preaching, where men are just promoting themselves rather than preaching Christ. Third thing that preaching is not. Galatians chapter 5. The third thing that preaching is not. Preaching is not the style of delivery. Preaching is not self-promotion. And preaching is not preaching the law. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Paul begins by telling us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to the law. Don't let anybody put you under that. And look what he says in verse 11 of that chapter. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, and you understand that that means the law. If I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. We preach Christ what? Crucified. You preach the law. Men are attracted to that. Men, and there's something in you, and there's something in me that's drawn to someone giving us something to do. He said, if I preach the law, then why am I being persecuted? Leaving the law out of preaching will offend men. It'll offend them. Verse 12, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Just let them go all the way. No, we don't preach the law. The law is our schoolmaster in that we were once under its authority, but we're not under that authority anymore. As we saw Sunday, it's not the law that leads us to Christ. We don't have to preach the law. Christ leads us to Christ. It's the love of God that, it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. And it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. And the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So, we're here to exalt Christ, to lift up Christ. Alright, you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What is this matter of preaching? Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. He's not diminishing the importance of baptism. But he's saying that, you know, my call from God is to preach the gospel. Paul was an itinerant preacher, and the pastors and elders in the local churches where he preached would take care of the baptizing. And he's saying I've not been called to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. That's what God's called me to do. And so this matter of preaching has to do with the good news. The good news. The gospel of God's free grace in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one, who is himself all our salvation and all our life. What glorious news that is. Preaching the gospel. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross. So this matter of preaching is preaching the good news and preaching the cross. Christ lifted up. Christ as our sin bearer on Calvary's cross. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So preaching the gospel, preaching the cross, and preaching are all the same thing. Look at verse 23 in that passage. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Why? Why was he a stumbling block? He was the stone which the builders rejected and God took and made the head of the corner. But they didn't like that. Why? Because he didn't fit into their rules and regulations, didn't fit into their religious system. So he became a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, that preaching, that's just foolishness. We're too intellectual for that. So preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, preaching the cross, preaching is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in His glorious person and in His accomplished work. We're here to preach Christ. We're not here to preach the law. We're not here to preach a man. We're not here to impress men with a style of delivery. We're here to tell men about who the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of His deity. Don't you love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? And the eunuch said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." What did he say? "I believe that Jesus you just preached to me. You preached to me." Beginning with that very passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53 where that Ethiopian eunuch was reading when he asked, "Does the prophet speak of himself or does he speak of another?" And the Scripture says that Philip got in the chariot and began to preach from that passage unto him Jesus. And when he was finished, he said, "I believe that that Jesus you just preached to me is the Son of God. I believe that. I'm thoroughly convinced of it. He's made himself known to me. I believe that he's the second person of the triune Godhead. There's no doubt in my mind about it. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. I've seen him. I've seen the Father. For he and the Father are one." Oh, the glorious mystery of the Trinity. But we believe. We believe who He is. And as being God, we believe that He's sovereign. We believe He's sovereign. We don't say He's God and then change the definition of deity. If He's God, then He hath done whatsoever He wills with the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" He has mercy on whomever He wills to have mercy, and whom He wills, He hardens. He's God. The little Jesus that's being preached today is not God. He's waiting for you to let Him have His way. Oh, won't you let Jesus come into your heart? There's no deity to that. That's a God to feel sorry for. We don't feel sorry for our God. We fear our God. We know that He holds our lives in His hands and He does with them whatsoever He wills. And He said, "Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but fear that one who can throw both body and soul into hell." We have some bands in death, don't we? We understand the reality of eternal life and hell, and we look to Christ as the one who unloosed those bands for us. As the sovereign, glorious God, He has the right to foreknow, to predestinate, to call, to justify, and to glorify those whomever He wills. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And when I'm ready, I'll make you willing. I'll make you willing. Oh, the Jesus that's being preached today is not the sovereign God of Scripture. He's not. He's not the Word of God. Preach the Word, that they may be perfect, lacking in nothing. Preach Christ. He's the incarnate Word of God, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He is the Word of God. If a text of Scripture is not understood in the light of the gospel of God's free grace in the glorious person and accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's not understood. It's just not. There are many passages of Scripture I looked at and I can't find the gospel in it. I got to go somewhere else. The Lord just hasn't opened that path. But I know it's there. I know it's there. And in time, we'll have all eternity for the Lord to open the mysteries of the gospel to us, won't we? But wherever we go to in the Word of God, that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy, preach the Word. Preach Christ in season, out of season. Wherever you go in the Word of God, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what men need to hear. Sinners need to know that there's a Savior. They need to know who He is. They need to know something about His power to save, His authority to save, His sovereignty in salvation. They need to know that He is the Word of God and that He Himself is the Spirit of prophecy, as the angel told John in Revelation. What is preaching? It's preaching Christ. Preaching Him as God, as sovereign, and as omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's all powerful. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? Sarah laughed, didn't she? 90-year-old woman giving birth to a baby? Yeah, you'd laugh too. What'd God say? Is anything too hard for me? What's impossible with man is possible with God. You'll save yourself as easily as you'll get a camel through the eye of a needle. It's not going to happen. What man can't do, God does. That's what you need. That's what I need. I need an all-powerful God. I need a God that will draw me to Himself. A God that will cause me to believe. A God that will open the eyes of my understanding. A God that will turn me. The prophet said, turn me, O Lord, and I shall be turned. If you don't turn me, you're going to have to do it by your omnipotent power. The Lord Jesus Christ is immutable. Immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't mutate. He's not one thing today and something else tomorrow. The only hope we have of being saved is that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I change not. And it's the only reason you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I've established a covenant. You make a covenant with me and I'll disannul that covenant. But the covenant that I've established, it's an everlasting covenant. It cannot change. Why? Because I can't change. I don't change. don't change. And it's forever. You know, we're so prone to make God out to be like ourselves, aren't we? You thought that I was altogether as thyself. But He's not. He's holy. He's other than we are. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is filled with His glory." That's who He is. You know, we live in this created sphere of time and space that God has made for us to exist in this brief life that we have. But there's an eternity outside of that. Donnie Bell and I were talking about Monday night. He came in Monday. He's over in Sarasota and preaching for them tonight. But you know, when Mary took her last breath and stepped into glory, she didn't look around and think, "Wow, isn't this glorious?" She left time and space, and she entered into that place where she's always been. She's always been there. You know, it's not like, "Well, this is the first day of eternity." We talk like that, but we're just foolish when we speak like that. There is no time in eternity. When you step into eternity, you're going to be there as you've always been there. Truth is, you have always been there in the person of your substitute. In the heavenlies, in Christ. We're going to be looking around, taking it all in, and thinking, "No, we're just going to be delivered from this time that we know of. Caught up into the glory of His eternal grace." Oh, what a glorious God we have. He's sovereign. He's immutable. He's holy. He's fully God. He's omniscient. Oh, what a hope we have of knowing that He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows more about your sin than you know about it. There's no reason to hide from God. He said, "Who's been His counselor? Who's going to instruct God in the ways of..." No, He knows everything. And He's never learned anything. He's never had a new thought. You know, He said, here's His name. When He met with Moses, when He first gave His name, what did He say? "I am. I am." Not "I have been," "I will." No, I just am. Jehovah God. Oh, what a glorious Savior. This is what Paul's saying. We preach Christ. That's His person. That's who He is. I know people call Jesus the Christ, and then you listen to them talk about Him, and they deny the very essence of His Messiahship, which is what Christ means. Sent of God, in the full power of the Spirit of God, the Anointed One, that's what Christ means, to do what? To accomplish the salvation of His people. They call Him Christ, and they say, "Well, He wants to save. Won't you let Him?" We preach Christ. Christ. And Him crucified. That's His work. His person and His work. What do we know about His work? We know that He came in order to redeem His people. He didn't come to make an offer of redemption. He came as the Redeemer. He said, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb that is without spot and without blemish. when the Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross, He did not waste a drop of it. He was successful in redeeming His people, purchasing them unto God. You've been bought with a price. He's the Redeemer. We preach Christ crucified. He's our surety. Judah said to Jacob about Benjamin, he said, I'll be his surety. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not, let me bear the blame. Now, is it possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be the surety of His people and then go back into glory and have the Father blame Him because He didn't bring the sons of glory into the presence of God? No. No. The Word of God did not return void. When He ascended back into glory, He took with Him the names of those for whom He lived and died. He's our surety. He's our Redeemer. That's what He accomplished. Paul said we preach Christ crucified. What you need and what I need is not a theological education, not a feeling, not a religious experience. We need to be redeemed. We need a surety with God. We need a Savior. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The angel told Joseph, you call him Jesus. Why? Joshua. Yeshua. Jehovah saves. That's what His name means. Salvation's of the Lord. He's going to save His people. Without their help, without any contribution on their part. This Jesus is not being preached in the world. He's not being preached in religion. Oh, some wimpy, feel sorry for Jesus is being offered up, and man has set himself up on the throne of God. They've taken the very place of God. We preach Christ and Him crucified. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, the Scripture says that He bore in His body all the sins of all of His people. And He put them away once and for all. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, the one we're talking about here from the Scriptures, the one Paul preached, the one I'm trying to preach right now, didn't offer up His life for the sins of all men. He didn't die for everybody. If He died for everybody, everybody would be saved. I was standing out in the parking lot last week. Man came by, and he was thanking me. He was very religious, and thanking me for being in the community and being a testimony for Jesus. 15 minutes later, he stormed away from me and said to me, "You are an enemy of the gospel." In 15 minutes, he went from praising me for being a testimony for his Jesus until he found out the Jesus that I believed in, and he stormed away from here, accusing me of being an enemy of the gospel. He's an enemy of the gospel. And it had to do with, for whom did Jesus die? That was the conversation. For whom did He die? Well, He died for everybody. I'm going around preaching this to everybody because He died for everybody. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. If He died for everybody, everybody would be saved. Why? Because he was successful in his death, in his crucifixion. He didn't die for some of the sins of all men. He didn't die for all the sins of all men. He died for all the sins of some men. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. The Lord Jesus Christ is just, as we saw Sunday morning, and he is the justifier of them that believe. He justifies us before God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn you? It's God that justifieth. God does the justifying. And he justifies us with the justifier, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our reconciler. We were at enmity with God. We didn't come into this world reconciled to God. Until the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles us, there's one mediator between God and man. There's one man who's able to touch God with one hand and not be destroyed, and able to touch sinners with the other hand and not be defiled. He's the only one. He's the only one that can do it. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. That's what you need. That's what I need. Oh, I need an advocate. My little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He established our righteousness for us. We don't go about ignorant of the righteousness of God, trying to establish our own righteousness. He is our atonement. Atonement. He's our covering. He's our propitiation before God. That's what he did. Now, I read a book on the language, and they said, well, to take the word atonement and make it to mean at-one-ment is a fanciful interpretation of the word. But it's not. You look up the word atonement in English, and that's what the word means. At-one-ment. Now, I know in the original language it has to do with a covering, it has to do with a propitiation. But that covering and that propitiation makes us to be one with God. We preach Christ. Don't confuse delivery with content. God uses lots of different personalities and different men to declare the truth. And don't get caught up in thinking because someone's... Don't think because there's heat, there's light. Look for the light. Try the Spirit, see whether it be of God. We're not to preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. We're not to preach the law, but preach Christ. Who he is in all of his glorious attributes. And he's described in so many different types and pictures and ways in his word. And we preach him from the word, don't we? We're not going anywhere else for our source of truth to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ directly from his word. And we preach him crucified. Not that he experienced crucifixion historically and physically. Yes, he did. But what Paul's talking about there in our text when he said, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Look at the next verse. But unto them which are called, them which are called, have you been called of God? Whether they be Jews or Greeks, when the accomplished work of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, then that message about that man becomes the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So that Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. One thing I know for sure about you and about me, and this goes along with preaching too. I was talking to a brother this week and he said he had a dear lady came out of religion and heard him preach, and she came up to him afterwards and she said, I've never heard a preacher. She said, I've been in religion all my life and it was always you sinners. And I've never heard a preacher preach from the pulpit himself as a sinner. Till now, his first time in my life. Now we're in this thing together, aren't we? We don't preach ourselves. Oh, that the Lord would use the foolishness of preaching to save us. To save us. I heard a brother say recently, he was preaching the gospel, and another pastor came up to him after he preached, and he said, whew, got saved again today. He knew what he meant. I knew what he meant. And you know what he means. Every time Christ is lifted up, we're not looking for anything more. Lord, save me. Save me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for giving us a book. A book that can be relied upon word for word, believing that these scriptures are nothing less than the inspired Word of God about the Word of God. We pray that you would be pleased to reveal Christ to our hearts and cause us to have hope in Him and to rest in Him, to believe Him, to trust Him. Lord, you're going to have to do that. We ask that you would. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Tom, in the Softback Temple, number 77, let's stand together. Your word.